This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 277.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to build simple sales funnels. And I'm going to be sharing with you some of the sales funnels that I'm currently using in my own business. Now, if you're not sure what that term means, then stick with me because I will explain more as we go. But quite simply, sales funnels are the steps that somebody takes to become a customer of yours. So it's your customer journey, basically. And it's important to think about your sales funnels because the more that you can understand about the steps that your customer takes or that people take before they become a customer of yours, then the more you can understand about what information or what opportunities people might need in order to become a customer. So basically, the more that you understand about that process, the more that you understand about that journey, the more people you are likely to be able to convert from people who are maybe interested in your products or services into actual customers. But before we get into the episode, I just wanted to remind you about something. So this is my membership community. And up until recently, it was called the Soulful PR Studio. But if you're a regular listener to the show, then you may have noticed that I've had a bit of a rebrand and a new look. And I will be recording a special episode on this as soon as everything's in place. But I've renamed my membership. It used to be called the Soulful PR Studio, and now it's called Love Marketing, the Love Marketing Membership. And in essence, what the membership is all about is helping you to get better at marketing so you can make more money. So in terms of the content in my membership, it stays very much the same. So it's designed for people who are basically frustrated. A lot of my members, they join me because they're frustrated, because they're not making as much money as they want to. And they know it's because they're not marketing effectively. So all of the content in the membership has always been geared to help people market their businesses more effectively. But over the past few months and years, what I've really come to understand is that if you want to help people with marketing and you want to help people with marketing in such a way that it actually has an impact on their bottom line, and it totally should do, then you really do need to be clear about the activities that people need to be doing to get to certain income levels in their business. So what I've done recently is I've restructured the membership. In fact, it's still a work in progress, so that I've organized the activities and the resources so that they're tied to income goals. So in my membership now, I've got all the activities and marketing activities set out that will help you to get to 1K a month of revenue, and then 2K a month, and then 5K a month, and 10K a month. So the idea is I've got these four checklists, and in fact, you can download the checklist from my website as a freebie, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So the idea is that you have a checklist of very specific activities that you need to be doing in order to hit those income goals. And if you're not hitting those income goals, then you know exactly what kind of content you should be going to in the membership and what you should be working on. So as I say, this is a real work in progress. I've been helping members in my membership for quite a few years now in order to improve the way that they're promoting their business. But this feels to me like the next natural logical step. So if I want to help people with their marketing for me, it's not just an activity. It's not just something that you do when you've got a bit of spare time. It is the lifeblood of your business. It's how you make money. So that's why I've restructured my membership and organized the content in a way which says, look, here are the things that you need to do to get to your first 1K a month. And then once you've done that, here are the things that you need to be doing to get to 2K a month. Here are all the resources that you'll need, 5K and 10K. So I've been working really hard behind the scenes recently I've had a new membership site built. We've created some new content for the membership. So it's very much still a work in progress. So it's been a case of my current members kind of keeping them updated. We have a Wednesday afternoon call every Wednesday afternoon where we get together and people can ask questions. So we call it our office hour, but I also teach a little bit and update people about new content that we've got. And it's a real focal part of our week. So I've been trying to keep the members informed about how things are changing and letting them know that things are just changing for the better. If you are a member, then if you've been along to these calls, you'll have heard me talk about it. You'll have seen me show some photos of the inside of the new membership site. So it's very much a work in progress, but I'm really excited about being able to open up the membership to new members again in probably about a few weeks' time from when I'm recording this episode. So if this sounds of interest, if you've been thinking about working with me, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while and thinking I really would like to join Janet's membership because that is the most cost-effective way to work with me. You can work with me. I've got mastermind groups. You can work with me one-to-one as a one-off, a Skype, or you can do a half day with me, or you can book me for days, or, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can work with me. But in terms of the most cost-effective way is to join my memberships. If you've been thinking about it, then I think now's a really exciting time to get on board, and I will be talking about it more and more over the next few weeks. But I'll put a link to the Love Marketing membership in the show notes. You can get on the wait list, and that means that you'll be the first to hear. And obviously, if there's any sort of special offers going on, or there's any special incentives going on, if you're on the wait list, then you will be the first to hear about those when the new site goes live. And if you are in the membership and you're listening, then hello. And just be assured that I am keeping you up to date with what's going on. The minute that the new membership site is open, the New Look membership site, I'll organise a call so we can jump on and I can show you around. And things are not going to change dramatically. They're just going to get better. So things are going to look different. The colour of my brand is a little bit different, but it's just going to be better. The content's going to be organised better, and you're going to be able to find the things that you need much easier. So we're working really hard to do that. So more on that over the next few weeks, but now I think it's time to get on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to build simple sales funnels. Now, if you're not familiar with the phrase sales funnels, then please don't panic. It simply means the process, the journey, the steps that somebody takes in order to become a customer of yours. And I interviewed the sales expert, Jess Lorimer, back on episode 227, and she said something really important about sales funnels, which I want you to remember. And she said, if you've ever sold anything to anybody, congratulations, you have a sales funnel. Now, I share that because if you Google sales funnels, as I did before I came on this episode, as I was putting together the notes for this episode, I Googled sales funnels and I got tons of definitions, hundreds, diagrams, all sorts. And so my members, when I speak to them, they can get very, very overwhelmed by sales funnels. And when I looked at that, because I haven't Googled that for like years and years, I was like, right, I can see why people get really overwhelmed by this. For me, I have a really simple four-step process that I use to put together sales funnels, so the journeys that my customers take to buy my products and services. For me, they're always a work in progress. They could always be improved. And that really leads me to the next point I want to make before I start sharing some examples with you, is why think about sales funnels? Why are they important? Well, if we understand, or the more that we can understand about the journey that somebody takes from being interested in us or knowing a little bit about us to actually becoming a customer, or that journey from when we actually get people's initial interest to becoming a customer, the more we can understand about that process, the more we can understand about the potential problems, the potential pitfalls, the potential drop-off points, then obviously the more sales that we can make. Now, if you're listening to this and you already have some sales funnels set up, obviously it's a great opportunity for you to go back and to reflect and review and see where there might be drop-off points and problem points. But actually, I'm also going to share with you how to start from scratch. So every time that I launch a new product or service, this is the process that I go through. I'm going to share some real examples from my business, including a sales funnel, which is kind of half finished. I kind of realized that as I was recording this episode, and I'm sharing that with you because I want you to understand that, you know, there's no such thing really as a perfect sales funnel. You can always be improving. You can always be making that customer journey better. So the thing is to get started. Is as I see lots of my members doing, they kind of procrastinate about all of this and they get themselves bogged down with perfectionism, but actually your sales funnels are never going to be perfect. So you may as well get started and improve and tweak as you go. So for me, I think there's four stages to your sales funnel. You'll find tons of other definitions online, but this is the process that I use. And I think actually it's quite simple. It's quite straightforward and might be a good one for you to start with. So for me, there's four phases. So the first phase is awareness. So this is when you're making people aware of you, your products, services. The second phase is the nurture phase. So this is when you're actually building a deeper relationship and building that know, like, and trust with your prospective customer. The next phase is the offer phase. So this is when you actually make an offer, and then you've got your action, when people actually buy from you. So I'm just going to run through that again. So the first stage is the awareness phase. So that's when you're making people aware of you, your product, your service. The second phase is the nurture phase, when you're deepening and building that relationship. The next phase is the offer phase. So when you're actually making an offer and you're encouraging people to buy. And the last phase is the action phase. So that's when people actually buy. Now, as you get more complicated with your sales funnel, I'm not going to cover this in this episode because I think it's too much to start with. You can then build on new funnels on top. So when somebody becomes a customer of yours, you can start thinking about upsells. You can start thinking about moving them into new funnels where they might want to buy something else from you. But what we're going to focus on in this episode is just really simple, a really simple funnel. So awareness, nurture, offer, action. Now, a big mistake that I see people making with sales funnels is to start at the beginning. So you might think to yourself vaguely, well, I've got a new online program, or I've got a new handbag, or I've got some new children's clothes, or whatever it is that you sell. How do I make people aware of those? And that is a big mistake. I think the key thing you want to do with your sales funnel is you start at the end. Okay, so what action do you want people to take? And it sounds a bit obvious, but actually a sales funnel doesn't even have to be a product or service. You could have a sales funnel that's just running to a free cheat sheet that you're going to get people to download, or a free video or something like that. So this is what's really important, that you're clear. What is it you actually want people to do? Do you want them to sign up to your membership? Do you want them to buy one of your candles? Do you want them to become a coaching client? So if you can start with a very, very specific and a single action that you want people to take, another mistake, this stops you from making another big mistake people make with sales funnels, which is having multiple offers. So it's just confusing for people. So if you get people onto your email list, and then at the end of, you know, you send them a few emails, and then you say, well, you could join my membership, or you could do my coaching program, or you could come along to one of my live events. It's just too confusing and people can't make a decision. So a really good sales funnel, you start at the end and think, what's the single action that I want people to take at the end of this? That's going to be much more successful for you. So I'm going to walk you through some examples in my own business of some of the sales funnels that I've got. So I've got one which is for my membership community, the Love Marketing membership. This is quite a new funnel, so it's still being tested out. But on my website at the moment, I've just had my website updated. And in fact, there's still some things to update, including the landing page where you actually download these checklists that I'm going to talk about. But I've got these four checklists, and they set out the key marketing activities that you need to do to get to 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, and 10K a month. So starting with my end goal in mind, so my end goal is that I want people to join my membership. Okay, so what I do with my sales funnels is I start at the end, and then I go back to the beginning, and then I fill in the middle. So I start with the action I want people to take, and I think, okay, if that's the action I want them to take, what's the trigger? What's the awareness raising activity that I need to do to get them into my funnel? And then I can walk them through the nurture and walk them through the offer. Okay, so start at the end. So start with the action you want people to take, then go back to the awareness raising activity. And then you're going to walk people through the nurture phase and the offer phase. So in my case, in this particular funnel, I have these checklists. So these checklists set out the key marketing activities that you need to take to get to 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, 10K a month. So that's really, it's a really good way to get people in, because you're getting the right people in. So these are not just people who are interested in learning about how to market their business more effectively, but these are people who are already tuned into the fact that they want to make more money, and they want to understand about how they can really hone their marketing activities so they're very much linked to their income. So I'm actually qualifying my leads. The other thing that I'm doing with these checklists, which is quite a sophisticated sales funnel thing, so please don't feel that you have to do anything like this. In fact, I probably would advise you that you don't when you're first starting out, but I'm actually segmenting my leads. So by asking people if they want to download my 1K a month checklist, 2K a month checklist, 5K and 10K, what I'm doing is I'm sorting people into buckets, basically. So it might well be that somebody who is looking to earn their first 1K a month or 2K a month, they may well need different treatment when it comes to joining my membership than somebody who is looking to get to 5K a month and 10K a month. In fact, I would say that people who are looking to get to 5 and 10K a month are probably maybe not even suited to my membership. They're more suited to working with me in a mastermind group. So what I might do is set up a separate funnel for those people. But by having those segmented lists, by understanding where people are with their income levels, it means that I can be really more niche and I can be much more targeted. But I'm not going to go too much into that because I don't want to bog you down at this stage. But basically, I've got these checklists. It's bringing the right kind of people into my funnel because they're interested in marketing, but they're also interested in what I would call results-based marketing. So they're not just interested in marketing for the sake of it. They want to understand what marketing activities they can do to make particular amounts of money. And they're exactly the kind of people that I want to bring into my funnel. So the next phase, that's my awareness phase. So people have signed up for these checklists, but a mistake to make here would be just to send them a checklist and then never send them another email. But what I want to do is to keep those people interested. I want to tell them more about me and how I work, because they might be completely new to me and my list. And I want to expose them to my content so they can say, you know, this woman, she's clearly experienced in marketing. She understands it. She's created blog posts. She's created podcasts on it. So I want to deepen that relationship during the nurture phase. So this is quite a new funnel. So we're still testing. But at the moment, we have four emails, follow-up emails. And these checklists, they have four areas on them. So the first area is money. The second area is audience. The third area is authority. And the fourth area is visibility. And in my membership, they're the four areas that we focus on. So across 4 days, I break down those four areas. And the first day, I will look at money. And I will go into that a little bit more deeply. I will share some more resources that I've got, some more blog posts and some more YouTube videos to help with that. The second day, I'll look at audience. The third day, I'll look at authority, visibility. So by the end of that 4 or 5 days, if somebody has gone through that sequence, then they should actually start to get to know me. And the reason I know that they're starting to get to know me is that I invite them in that email sequence. And if you've signed up for this checklist, you might have seen this. I say, hit reply to this email and let me know how you're getting on. Let me know what you think. And people are getting back to me and they're saying, yeah, I've had a look at your checklist and this is the area where I'm struggling. And then what I might be able to do, and this is not necessarily automated, is send them another blog post or send them another podcast episode and actually, you know, give them that personal treatment. And although we're talking here about automated email sequences and I use Infusionsoft, I don't think you can ever be fully automated because these are people and you're trying to build relationships with people that you want to do business with in the future. So if I was just to keep that all automated and not have that opportunity there for people to email me back and to get into a conversation, then I'm kind of missing a trick if I don't do that. So they get the cheat sheet. Then at the moment, they get 4 or 5 days of more information to get me know better, get to know me better, I should say. Now, at the moment, my membership is closed because it's being updated and I'm not bringing new members in right at the moment, but I will be in the next week or two. So at the moment, I'm not going straight into an offer. But once we've got all of that working and the new membership site is up and running, then we'll go then straight into an offer. We'll move straight into the offer phase. So at the moment, I'm kind of holding them in the nurture phase. And what I really probably should be doing, and this is what I say about sales funnels, they are work in progress. You're always trying to improve them and tweak them. Probably should be sending them some new content at the moment. Then we're going to move into our offer phase. And that's when you will actually start to talk about the membership and start to invite people into the membership. Now, the thing about funnels is that, say, you're constantly testing and improving. Now, with an audience that maybe is a bit warmer, maybe you might be able to even group some of your email subscribers into people who've been on your list for a while, or have already downloaded other things from you or already bought other things from you, whatever. You know, it may well be that you're able to make an offer straight away. But if these are really, really cold leads of people that you haven't dealt with before, then you're probably going to need to ask more than once. So it might well be that during that offer phase, you have 5 or 6 emails. And if you're on my email list, you'll notice that something that we do is that we make an offer. We see who's clicked. I use Infusionsoft and that allows me to see who's clicked on particular offers. So, you know, with my membership, I can see which people have clicked to look at the details. So we can actually set up automated emails that go to people who say, look, I noticed that you've been checking out my membership, but you haven't yet signed up. Is there anything else that we can do in order to give you the information that you need to make a decision? So we can set up, we call them look, not book sequences. And the next phase is action. So I'm just going to run you through that again. So the first stage is the awareness phase. So that's when we send the checklist that say, here are the marketing activities that you need to do to get to 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, and 10K a month. Then we have the nurture phase. So that's a series of emails over 4 or 5 days where we give more information on that and more resources. So you're deepening the relationship and you're also inviting people to talk back to you and to get into a conversation with you. I have a 10-day PR challenge that some of you might have worked your way through. And that was brilliant, actually, for people talking back. People would email back and say, I've tried this, but it hasn't worked as well. Any tips? Or they'd say, oh my God, that's really brilliant. I've got a result. So you're starting that dialogue and you're getting a conversation going. That nurture phase can be as short or as long as you need it to be. And again, the more that you get into doing your sales funnels, the better you'll get at it. But the key thing is just to get started and just to tweak and test as you go. The next phase is your offer phase. Now, most people won't buy on the first email, so you may well need to set up 5 or 6 different emails. Some people completely automate their email sequences. I'm not a fan of doing that, particularly when it's the first time that I've offered something. I like to have a little bit of flexibility because depending on the campaign, depending on the audience, then you know, some people need longer to warm up than others, or some products or services need longer than others. And so it really sometimes is a case of testing. And then your next phase is the action phase. So that is basically it. So I'm going to show you now another funnel that I have for my membership. And you could have for one product or service, you could have 10 different funnels, 10 different routes in, basically. And again, I would really suggest that when you first start out, that you just keep it simple with just one funnel, test that one out, then try something new, bring something else on board, and then you won't get overwhelmed. So another funnel that I have into my membership or have had in the past is through Facebook ads. And the thing about Facebook ads is that I can think I've only ever once bought something cold off a Facebook ad. And that was, it was a belt for that you can wear when you're running that you can put your phone in. Because I think I've talked about this in the podcast before, but I wish this was true of everywhere else, but I've got really skinny arms. So whenever I try to buy one of those holders that you put on your arm to put your phone in when you're running so you can listen to music, it just always slides up and down my arm. So I had a problem, basically. So a Facebook ad popped up in my feed, which was advertising these things called click belts. I think they're called flip belts, they're called. It just basically solved my problem. I just saw it and thought, that's perfect, that's what I need. Maybe I didn't buy straight off the first ads, but obviously what you can do with Facebook is you can retarget. But certainly I didn't visit a website, I didn't sign up for any cheat sheets or blog posts or anything like that. I literally just bought that because it was solving a very specific problem. And Facebook was showing me that ad because presumably I look at running related stuff. I am the admin of the North Downs Run page. I like the Park Run page. I belong to a running club group and page. I'm often looking at running posts and sharing running content. So that's why I was shown that ad. But that's the only time I can think of that I've ever bought straight off an ad. And most people don't. I think it's a really important thing to remember. So Facebook, if it's a cold audience, and obviously if you're advertising to a warmer audience, so maybe an audience you've already shown ads to, it could be quite different. But just for this example, we're going to talk about a cold audience. So for my membership, the worst possible thing I think I could do is just write a Facebook ad that says, basically, would you like to join my membership? Because people are just going to look at it and go, well, who is she? I don't know her. I don't know anything about her. I don't trust her. Who is she? So I'm probably going to get very little engagement. So with a cold audience like that, what I would generally do would be to run Facebook ads to a challenge. And I've run a couple of challenges this year. Some of you might have taken part in them. So I had a 10-day email list building challenge. I had a 7-day Facebook ads challenge. And so what I would do instead would be to do Facebook ads into those challenges. I would work with people in those challenges, and that would be the nurture phase. And then I make an offer to the membership after that. So in terms of reverse engineering that, because that's really what you're doing with your funnel. So remember, we're starting with the end in mind. I want people to join my membership. So then I'm going to move to the awareness phase. So what could I do to make people aware of my membership? Well, I'm going to run a challenge. So I'm going to use Facebook ads to get new people onto my list to join that challenge. So that's my awareness phase, is those Facebook ads and the challenge. The nurture phase is actually, it can be a series of emails that you're sending somebody, but actually in this case, people taking part in the challenge with me. That's my nurture phase. So again, I'm sending out emails over, in the case of my Facebook page engagement challenge, 7 days. In the case of my email list building challenge, it's actually 10 days. So that's quite powerful because you're building a relationship with people over time. But also with a challenge, you can get people in a Facebook group and you can work together with people. So you do get to build a relationship. I remember somebody saying to me that she joined, it was actually my mastermind group actually, because of the way that she saw that I work with people on a challenge in a Facebook group. So your nurture phase doesn't have to take place in somebody's inbox. It can actually be taking place like that. We were delivering the challenge by emails, but we were actually working together in a Facebook community. But the most important thing is that you're building a relationship with people. They're getting to know you. They're getting to know your content, your products, your services. So that's your nurture phase. So with that, we had Facebook ad, challenge, the offer phase, then we just go straight in and make an offer. So the important thing about that is that you need to, if you're going to offer some kind of free challenge or a free webinar or a free cheat sheet or something like that to get people into your funnel, it needs to relate really, really closely to what you want to sell at the end. And that's why I say start with the end in mind. So start with, what is your endpoint? I want people to join my membership. And then when you're thinking about your what you're going to do to raise awareness and to attract people in, you're thinking about something really, really relevant. So email list building is something that I cover in my membership. Social media marketing is something that I cover in my membership. So those two, the email list building challenge and also the Facebook page engagement challenge, they seem like really related things for people to take part in, to get to know me and think, oh, okay, if I join her membership, I'm going to get more of this kind of thing. So it's really important that you match up your awareness raising activities. It could be a webinar, it could be a cheat sheet, it could be a video series. It's really important that relates really closely to what it is, the offer that you want to make at the end. So with that funnel, so we've got the Facebook ads, people join the challenge, they get the nurture sequence, and then we make the offer. As with anything, I've said this already before, you'll probably have to ask more than once. You might need to ask several times. And the important thing to remember about your funnel as well is that it's a triangle, basically. So it's fatter at the beginning. You're going to get more people come in. And in terms of the people that actually buy, it's going to get narrower and narrower and narrower. And you've probably heard me talk about this before in the podcast, but when you're selling online, the average conversion rate is something like 1% to 2%. So for my Facebook page engagement challenge, I think I had 1,700 people signed up to that challenge, but only a small percentage of those actually became customers. But that's fine because I was able to get a lot of new people into my funnel in order to do. They weren't all new people actually who came in for that, but I did have 1,700 people signed up for that challenge. Only a small percentage of those actually became members. But again, because of the critical mass, because of the numbers, that's fine. And some of those people may join again in the future. Maybe they just need a little bit more time to get to know me, or they might decide that they prefer to come to an event, or they might decide they want to work with me one-to-one, or they want to work in one of my mastermind groups. That's why it's important that you're always bringing new people in, but not just anybody, that you're bringing people in who are potentially a good fit for your products or services. So that was my membership funnel for my Facebook ad. Now I could probably share with you 8 or 10 other funnels that I've got into my membership, different ways that I'm attracting people in and piquing that initial awareness. But that four-step phase, hopefully it just gives you an idea of what you need to think about. So I just want to share a couple of funnels now for products. So my media diary, this is my A4 desk diary that's got awareness days and key dates that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. So I'm now on my third year. I'll be selling the 2019 media diary a little bit later in the year. And so I'm going to share with you a couple of funnels that we had for the 2018 diary. So the first one is for a completely cold audience. So what we did in the awareness phase was we created Facebook ads and they went to a free download. And the download was a calendar for the whole year that would help you to plot out your content. We gave away the free dates for January. So it basically was a calendar that you could mark up yourself, but there was also instructions on how to actually put together your own content calendar for the year. And also we gave the January dates away. So the awareness phase was the Facebook ads and the media calendars, and then we moved on to the nurture phase. And during that nurture phase, then we'd send people emails showing them in a little bit more depth how to actually put their calendar together, giving them some more tips that they might want to use, giving them some more blog posts and podcasts that might help. So during that phase, they're getting to know me better and getting to know my content better. And then we move on to the offer phase. Now, with a cold audience, I'd say that you probably want to have that nurture phase at about maybe 5 or 7 days or something like that. But it really does depend. All of this stuff depends. So with a product like the media diary, it's seasonal. So I can't afford really to spend weeks and weeks warming people up in a nurture phase, because people are generally going to buy my diary with a view to planning for the next year. So we've got the 2019 one coming up. So it's no good me getting people on my list on December the 1st and spending 3 weeks warming them up, because actually that's kind of like my hot time for buying. So I would say probably maximum 5-7 days for something like that. But there might be other products or services that you sell where that nurture phase might be longer. And that's why this is an ongoing process. You're tweaking and testing all the time to see what works best. So in that case, we had the Facebook ad, the free media calendar. We had then a series of follow-up emails with some more information and podcasts and blogs so they can get to know me better. And then we made an offer. As with the membership, you probably have to make several offers. It's really important that you put a deadline if you've got a special offer. So the first set of Facebook ads that we did, they offered the diary at, I think it was a kind of introductory price, but it was only available for a certain date or a pre-order price, I think we even did. And I think it's really important that during your offer phase that you give people deadlines, because if you don't give people deadlines, if you don't give them a cutoff date for when they can get a particular offer or a price or even when they can buy at all, they will just procrastinate and they'll just keep thinking about it. And then obviously we've got the sales where they go to buy the diary. Now, something like the diary, last year, my diary, I think, was £36 plus postage and packaging. So it's not a big ticket item. So I'd say that you can probably get away with quite a short sales funnel that maybe is days or weeks long. And you could probably compress it even further than I did, to be honest, because it's not £36 plus postage and package. It's not something that people have to kind of, you know, spend days thinking about. And, you know, it can actually be quite an impulse decision. Okay, so I just want to share a second sales funnel that we had for the media diary. This was actually an upsell funnel. So this was actually to upsell people who'd already bought the diary to join the media diary owners club. So this is a little mini membership that I've got to help people with accountability. So if you buy your diary and you've got all your key dates and awareness days that you can use to plot out your content for the year, but actually some people were saying that they wanted to have more accountability. So they wanted to have maybe a Facebook group. They wanted to have some content, some more detailed content to help them. So what I did was I took the content from my live event, Your Year in PR last year, packaged that up as part of this membership. We also have 4 quarterly coaching calls as well to help keep people on track. So what we wanted to do was to upsell people who'd already bought the diary. So basically what we did was set up a second funnel, which actually went to people who'd already bought the diary. And what we'd do in that was in the awareness phase, we might sort of get in touch with them and say, you know, thanks for buying your diary. How are you getting on with it? Here's an extra blog post or a podcast that you might want to listen to help. So the awareness phase would be actually quite short because these people already know about the diary. And what we want to do is to move them onto the Media Diary Owners Club. So then in the nurture phase, we might send for 5 or 7 days, we might send some more information. So we might send some more blog posts or some more podcast episodes or some more information, a download or cheat sheet that they can use to make better use of their media diary. But what we might also do, if somebody has already bought the diary, we might actually take them, we might keep that nurture phase really, really short. Like it could be 1 email or 2 emails. And then we might take them straight to the offer phase. And we might actually make an offer for the Media Diary Owners Club very, very soon. And then obviously we've got the action. Ideally, what we want people to do is to join up at the end of it. But I share that one because I think that, as I've said several times in this episode, it is often about tweaking and testing. And one of the things that we did with the Media Diary and the Media Diary Owners Club, we actually tested just selling people the diary and then immediately moving them straight into the offer phase and offering them to join the Media Diary Owners Club and just basically saying, you bought the diary. Now you may be thinking to yourself, how am I going to stay accountable? How am I going to make sure that I actually do this planning rather than just have this nice diary? So you may actually want to try just moving people into making the next offer. So there's no hard and fast rules. You're learning as you're going and you're tweaking all the way. So the very last example I want to share with you is a funnel that I found that was half finished when I started putting together the notes for this episode. And I share this quite honestly because this is what happens when you start to do this work. You start finding half-finished funnels and funnels that you can improve everywhere. And it can be kind of frustrating, but it shows that you're on the right lines. So a few months back, I realized I wanted to start running Facebook ads for my mastermind group. So the main way that you can work with me is through my membership, which is the Love Marketing membership. But I've also recently introduced some mastermind groups for people who want to work more closely with me in a small group. So we meet once or twice a month on a Zoom call. So that's an online video conferencing call and people get hot seat time. So you get 10 minutes in the hot seat to talk about a specific problem that you're having in your business and you get feedback from me and the rest of the group. We have our own Facebook group. So it's a way for people to work with me much more closely and generally people who may not have the budget to work with me one-to-one or for whatever reason don't want to work with me one-to-one or maybe I don't have the capacity, but I've got these groups going on. And I felt like there were probably people out there who knew about me and knew about my work who might like to join these groups, but have maybe made the assumption that I only worked with beginners. Because I think sometimes people make the assumption that my membership is only for beginners or people in the early stages of their business. So we decided that we would run some Facebook ads and invite people to book a discovery call with me. So we wrote very specific Facebook ads, which were basically setting out the problems that I solve in my mastermind group. So our end goal is wanting people to join these mastermind groups. So in terms of awareness, we created a Facebook ad, which was very much kind of geared to the kind of person that I want to work with and the problems that they're having, and invited them to book a discovery call. And in fact, it's very effective. So I had a lot of calls booked, actually, a lot of surprising calls. And actually, we did even test some cold advertising as well. I've got some quite interesting cold leads, and actually one of them's become a one-to-one client, and some of them have joined my mastermind actually. So it's actually been quite successful. But what I realized when I started recording this episode, started preparing for this episode, is that actually the nurture part of that sequence is just kind of not there. And then I'm sharing this really, really honestly, because this is what it's like when you're building out sales funnels, is that, you know, sometimes you'll just throw something together quickly because you need a quick outcome. And then you're saying, oh, hang on, the middle of my sales funnel is missing. So I've got the beginning part in, I've got the Facebook ads and the link to book the discovery call. And obviously we have a process where somebody fills out a form for a discovery call, we'll have a look at that and see whether the person, whether it is appropriate for them to have a discovery call. If it is, then my assistant Joe will go to them and say, we got your form, here's how you book in a 15-minute chat with Janet. If they're not suitable, then we might go back and ask them a few more questions. So one of the qualifying questions we have is basically, do you have the budget for this right now? And if somebody says, no, I don't have the budget, sometimes they do, we'll go back and we'll ask a few more questions. And then if they say they don't have the budget, then we might say, well, how about we keep you on file and we'll come back to you a bit later, or perhaps they've misunderstood or whatever. So in the nurture phase, we kind of have, you know, we have a process that we go through in order to book these calls. And then once somebody's had the call, then we have a process of follow-ups with them. But I realized as I was putting the notes together for this episode that I could be doing so much more with that nurture phase. I mean, while people are waiting to have their call, I could be sending them relevant blog posts. And I have got blog posts on how to do a mastermind call and what you get out of a mastermind. I could be sending them relevant podcast episodes. I could be doing so much more to nurture people during that phase. And I share that really honestly because I feel that it's so easy to look at other people out there and think everybody's got it sorted and everybody's got these all bells and whistles sales funnels, but I find holes in mine all the time. Or I think, oh my God, why haven't I got a sales funnel for that every single day? So all you can do is just keep moving forward and just keep trying your best to improve. So in terms of that, I'll just quickly go through that for you. So in terms of that particular funnel, so the awareness phase, as I say, is the Facebook ads and the link to book a discovery call. The nurture phase is how we book people in for that call, but I'm sharing with you there that actually I think I could improve that phase by sending some helpful blog posts or podcast content that people can listen to or have a look at while they're waiting to have the call with me. When somebody's had the call, if I do think they're a good fit, then I could even add in some more content there. So, and I think in the offer phase for my mastermind, one thing that I've learned is that, and this is true of all sales funnels, that you do have to give people a deadline. So I did lots of discovery calls with people who said, yeah, I'm really interested, I want to sign up. But actually, it's really important that in that offer phase, you have clear deadlines and you say, okay, well, that's brilliant. You need to put your deposit down by this date, or you need to let us know by this date if you want to be considered for it. And I, again, just by recording this episode, I thought, actually, there's lots of things that I could improve in that offer phase to get people to make decisions more quickly. Because while you're hanging around waiting for people to make decisions, in the case of a mastermind group, for example, it's quite tricky because you have to book in all the calls. And while you're waiting around for somebody to make a decision, you're keeping everybody else waiting, and that's not fair. So I noticed that actually in that offer phase, I could really tighten things up. And actually, at the end of a discovery call, I could say to somebody, okay, we've had this discovery call. What we generally do is give people 72 hours, or we give people 4 days, or whatever it might be, to have a think about that. Does that sound okay? And we need to know by this date. And I realized that actually, if I had, I could improve my sales funnel to actually get people to make a decision more quickly, or to just kind of make a decision. And that would obviously improve that funnel and have less likely that people are going to drop off. So I hope that's been useful. And I know that that is a lot of information that I've shared with you. So I'm just going to recap on those four phases. So lots of information out there on sales funnels, lots of overwhelming information, but I would suggest that you just think about four phases. So the first is your awareness phase. So that's when you make people aware of your products or services. You might give them a freebie or some free content or whatever in order to kind of get them on your email list, for example. The next phase is the nurture phase. So that's when you might send people some more information. You might give them some blog posts or some podcast episodes or something else to get to know you better. The next phase is the offer phase. So that's when you actually invite people to buy. And as I've shared several times, it's important that you put deadlines on that, particularly if you've got special offers going on. And the fourth phase is the action. You'll also remember that I said that you should start actually at the end of your funnel. So start with the action. So start with the action that you want people to take. It should be a single action. So you shouldn't be making offers where you're saying, you could join my membership, or you could coach with me, or you could do this. Make them one single offer. If you want to offer them something else, that's a completely different funnel. So you start with that one action that you want them to take. And then you think, okay, what in that awareness phase, what's the best thing that I could do that would really logically lead them towards that end goal? And then you fill in the middle, and you fill in the nurture and the offer. So keep it really, really simple, and don't overcomplicate things to start with, and don't stress about it. Don't imagine that it has to be perfect. It's fine for you to tweak and improve as you go. It's good for you to test. And I'm constantly improving my sales funnels all the time and finding half-finished ones like the one that I just shared with you there. So I hope you found that useful. I know I've shared a lot of information and you may well be feeling overwhelmed. I do love hearing from you. So drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. You can tweet me over on Jan_Murray. You can find me on Instagram at JanMurrayUK, or you can find my Facebook page at JanetMurrayUK.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.